from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick with you, and nobody else is here today. John Osier, Brian Sexton, both off this week. John will be back with us next week when we join you from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. We'll start our coverage there next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. Plenty to get to today. A Combine preview, of course. Starts next week. Friday is the on-the-field portion, and we'll visit with Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. He'll be part of that coverage starting Friday, next Friday, in Indianapolis. We'll get his thoughts on some of the mock drafts that are out early, his top prospect list that has come out, and where the Jaguars fall in that equation. And we'll also visit with Jaguars linebacker Paul Posluszny. He'll join us live in studio coming off the torn pectoral muscle. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick as well. Let's go to the phone lines now and welcome in NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. We're getting ready for this. The pre-draft process is here. This is your time of year, man.
Yeah, this is. It's really starting to crank up now. We get the combine coming next week, and then before you know it, we'll be into pro days, and then we'll be in Chicago before. Anybody knows what hit them. We'll all be thinking we need to be going to New York, and then the last second we'll remember, nah, not this year. A little Chicago action for the draft should be fun.
You can follow Daniel on Twitter, at Move the Sticks, host of the Move the Sticks podcast on NFL.com and iTunes. I was listening to the podcast the other day, and you were talking about some of the top position groups in this draft, and your top position group, surprisingly, was running back this year. Why is that?
Well, it's interesting. It is loaded. I mean, I think there is a close to 10, I would say, 8, 9, 10 guys I could see coming in and getting starting carries next year in the NFL. It's just an incredibly deep year. I mean, some years, we've seen it where there just has been a guy, and I think we've all talked about the devaluing of the running back position. I think this is a year that changes a little bit. I think we'll see a lot of these guys go in the first couple rounds. I think we have two guys that are worthy of going in the first round, and Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley, even though Gurley's injured. I think he's such a special talent. I think he's got a good chance to be a first-round pick. And then after that, there's a whole bunch of guys I think are worthy of going in the second round. Jay Ajayi from Boise State's one of my favorite players. Amir Abdullah from Nebraska is kind of reminds me of Gio Bernard a little bit. You got T.J. Yeldon at Alabama, who's a big, slashing runner. There's a good group of guys. Tevin Coleman from Indiana is another interesting player. So it's a very, very deep group of running backs.
Daniel Jeremiah is with us from NFL Network. You got a recent article that lists your top prospects, but four of those top eight are defensive linemen, five if you count the fellow from Florida, Fowler. So you have Fowler to the Jags at three in a mock draft, but he's down the list in top prospects. Kind of, how do those balance out, the two different lists there?
Yeah, there's the way I try and explain it is I do a mock draft reluctantly. I'm not a big fan of it. It's all guesswork. But the mock drafts I do with my ears. In other words, talking to people around the league, talking to teams, and then kind of what the tea leaves are saying in terms of they like this player, they like that player. So a mock draft I do with my ears. My top 50 prospect list I do with my eyes. That's my take on the guys, how I rank them, who I think is the best player in the draft. I start at number one, and I go down to number 50. So it's funny when people, they get upset about a mock draft, and how can you have this player up there? He's not that good, or he should be going much higher, he's much better. I'm like, look, if you want to know what I think about the players, look at the top 50 list. The mock draft is purely based off of what I'm hearing.
So we go to social media. I know you're a big social media guy, at Move the Sticks on Twitter. A question from Hodari11 on Twitter. Your latest mock has Fowler to the Jags. So why Fowler and not Gregory and Ray? That's one of the first questions. So, and it goes back to what you hear, right?
Yeah, no question. I think it's been a little while since I did that mock draft. I think I had Randy Gregory already gone.
Right.
By the time the Jags picked there. But Fowler, to me, I think he's a player that doesn't have the big stat numbers, but I think he is a big-time talent. They dropped him in coverage a good bit. But I think you give him a chance to rush the passer full-time. I think he's got a perfect skill set to be a double-digit sack guy. He's long. He's athletic. He's explosive. Shane Ray, to me, is very, very gifted. He's talented. I think I had Shane Ray over him in my – no, I take that back. I had Fowler over Shane Ray on my top 50 list, but they're close. Shane Ray, I'm anxious to see how big he is because they list him at 6'2", I think 245, around there. And I've heard from scouts that have gone in there, they think he's going to measure in about 6'1". He's not very long, and he's not very heavy. So that could be one that'll one to keep an eye on because on tape he's outstanding, but if he comes in a little bit smaller than everybody expected, that could hurt his stock a little bit.
Daniel, of course, the Jags are not really in the market for a quarterback these days, of course, but there are two big-name quarterbacks coming up. But after that, it's not really a huge quarterback year, it seems like. Is this everybody kind of thinks that quarterbacks might go 1-2. Some don't now. There's some of the, like, as you're in your mock draft had, didn't have a quarterback going 1-2. Is that a positive for the Jaguars at 3 to maybe get some trade offers? Are these quarterbacks worthy of going 1-2?
Well, I mean, the good news if you're the Jags and you want to make a trade in a situation like this, they're really, it's about supply. You get the most out of a trade when there's demand, you know, versus supply. Supply and demand, very simple. Mm-hmm. And there's really two quarterbacks in this draft class that you feel like can come in and play. After that, I know I don't have another quarterback in my top 50. So wow. If you're a team that say, you know, the Jets at 6 and you're not happy with Geno Smith, and we don't know that they are or they aren't, you're a team like St. Louis, who I believe is picking 10. You don't know what's going to happen with Sam Bradford. They might be inclined to say, okay, look, there's only two quarterbacks. We've got to get one of them, and that could drive up the price if they don't go 1-2, which, you know, we'll wait to see how that all plays out. But if one of those quarterbacks were there when the Jags were on the clock, I would imagine they would have some options.
Who's a guy under the radar we might not have heard about that there's always that guy that has a good combine that moves up some boards theoretically? Is there a guy maybe under the radar for you right now, a week ahead of the combine?
Oh, yeah. Odigizuwe is a defensive end from UCLA who had missed the last year. He had been injured, came back this year, had a solid year. They play him kind of as a five technique, meaning he's got to sit there and take on blocks and free up their linebackers to go make plays. So he doesn't get a chance full time to get up the field and rush the quarterback. But he is very explosive. He's very strong. And I think he's got a chance at the combine to really, really put on a show. I think he's going to run in the low 4.6s, maybe even sneak into the high 4.5s at 260-something pounds. So he's a player I would keep an eye on that could really up his stock at the combine.
Daniel Jeremiah with us, host of the Move the Sticks podcast on NFL.com and iTunes. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. We go back to this podcast again, and there was a segment on it called Hits and Misses, where you read your scouting reports from former drafts. And one of those that you read was about Jordan Palmer, who, of course, worked with Blake Bortles in the pre-draft last year. So let's go to Bortles now. What were your thoughts on Blake coming out of the combine last year? What did you see him do during the season? What's the next step for him moving forward?
Well, yeah, man, talking about Jordan Palmer, I thought he made Blake Bortles some money. I thought the work that he did in the offseason, it kind of changed mechanically a little bit of what Blake Bortles was doing. When I studied Blake on tape at Central Florida, one of the concerns I had was he was pretty much an upper body thrower. He didn't incorporate his lower half, and at times you saw the ball kind of die on him. For a big, strong guy, it was kind of misleading. I didn't think his arm strength really matched his body because he wasn't using his lower half. And then working with Jordan Palmer and whoever else he was working with in the run-up to his pro day, man, he really, really engaged his lower body and was able to generate a lot more velocity and showed more arm strength. And I think that really helped him because that was a little bit of a question on him. In terms of what he did this year, he saw some good things. I think there were definitely the flashes. He was in a tough spot because there were a lot of games where they're chasing points in kind of a must-throw situation. And that's going to be tough on any young quarterback. The thing that's obvious is the turnovers. He's got to cut way down on those. He's got to become a better decision maker. You can't make good decisions, you know, four plays in a row and then have a situation where you're rushing things or you're trying to get it all in one play. That's what he did. I thought he was trying to bite off a little more than he could chew. There'd be four or five great plays in a row and you're getting excited about Blake and then you just see him have one of those plays that's usually resulted in a turnover. So he's got to play a little bit more within himself, and they can help him with that by surrounding him with a little more talent, especially on the offensive line. They got to get better up front.
Daniel Jeremiah with us. You'll be part of the NFL Network coverage next week at the NFL Scouting Combine. Do you miss the days of holding a stopwatch and watching special teams guys in the Combine?
Or what? You know what? The only thing that I miss is when you're sitting there on the 40, and what I would do, and I'm sure a lot of people around the league do it, I'm just sitting there with a buddy from your team or a couple buddies,
right.
And before each guy would get ready to run, we would have one of us set the line. So, okay, let's say Philip Dorsett from Miami's getting ready to run, and I would say 4-3-2, and the guy to my left would say over or under, the guy to my right would say over or under, and we would just kind of keep a tally on who was winning. So it was a little game that we played while the 40s were going, and it made it a little fun.
We'll look forward to your coverage next week. We'll see you in Indianapolis. We appreciate your time today.
I enjoyed it. Take care.
There he is, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. Follow him on Twitter, at Move the Sticks. He's the host of the Move the Sticks podcast. And, of course, NFL Network live coverage of the Scouting Combine Friday next week, the 20th through Monday, is when the on-field work is. Of course, we'll be in Indianapolis for coverage from the Media Center starting on Wednesday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Jaguars.com live from the lobby. Plenty of behind-the-scenes coverage from the media room and more. Next week on Jaguars.com.